Hello and welcome to the Heartworking Dad podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel Perez, and this is the podcast for first-generation Christian fathers who want to grow their faith and lead their family well. So welcome to the Heartwork Journey. That's what I'm calling it. And this podcast is really just to unpack that journey, what it looks like to grow your faith, what it looks like to walk with Jesus, and how to lead your family when you haven't grown up in a Christian home, when you haven't had a lot of these things imparted on you or to you, and now you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure out everything while doing it at the same time. It can be overwhelming, it can be frustrating, but I think there is a real gold in that process and in that journey as you pave the way for your family. So, a little longer intro than I really expected. How are you all doing? It's January 28th. Have a sip of green tea. Let's see. I wanted to talk about a book after I just bashed personal development in the last episode. But I have been slowing down with books. And it's this one, I've talked about it before. It's really just been helpful. And I think the whole purpose of books, and just to reiterate from the last podcast, is that if you're reading these books and you miss the heart and you miss including Jesus in what you're doing, it's not going to help. The personal development isn't going to develop you if you're missing your heart and Jesus in the process. So with that being said, though, I am diving into a book. It is called The Fruit of the Spirit. Been just kind of off and on going into this book by Leroy Brownlow, but I've just found so much treasure in it. And this morning I was reading, finishing up on joy, and I just felt like, man, this is something I want to talk about. And as I read it, just kind of sharing some perspectives that I've had to change in my walk, in my walk with Christ, in my faith. You know, I guess it's the same thing, walk with Christ and faith. But let's just dive into it, really. Let's see. I think I'd be a little prepared, but joy is positive and comes from optimism. Sadness is negative, emanates from pessimism. How can you be optimistic and cheerful in view of the ever-changing fortunes of life? So joy. How do we have joy when our life is just going crappy? And I just, you know, we're always going to go through trials. And he says, troubles, and the handling of them is found in adjustment. Unquestionably, life is subject to the variable winds that blow from every direction. They are not always at our back, and certainly we cannot change the wind, but we can adjust the sails to every wind that blows. Therein is a necessary condition to the solution of life's problems. It is either adjust or be miserable or even be broken. And I've been finding that true to be in my life, is just the adjusting my mindset, my view of things. So often I can label some tragedy as, or just some setback as, God's not showing up for me. God's not guiding me. God's not fathering me. When really it's life. And how do I navigate that? How do I change? And it's just changing the perspective that, you know, the wind is going to blow. Things are going to happen. I mean, that is life. Things are going to happen. It's not going to be hunky-dory all the time. But how do we handle that? And I think last year, the word I got was adversity from the Lord, and there was just tons of adversity. And I think it was a quote that said, adversity makes the man. And so how often do I forget that? How often do we forget that? That in going through trials, it's actually producing faith. You know, count it as joy. Count it as something that, what does he say? It's counted as gold. Purify your faith like gold. Is that what Peter says? But, it, you know, it reminds me of, I heard about trees, right? In the palm tree, how it just, it's bendable. and it stands these huge tsunamis, these big old waves, and it can stand a lot of different elements, and that is the fact that it's bendable. It, you know, it's if it was so rooted in one thing, if something could knock it down, but it's adaptable. And it's true, because I've seen them. Like, I've seen such crazy winds, and these trees just, they're so high and they're so rocking, but because they're pliable, they're able to withstand the wind. And so often, as I think new Christian fathers, I think there's a lot of attack and adversity that we're going to go through. There's going to be a lot of times when things, the Christian walk just might not seem to be working out. Like when you first came to Christ, everything was great. You're on fire. And then all of a sudden you're in a period where it's dry and you're just wondering what's going on. And things seem harder that were once easier, and you're getting a little more tested, and you don't feel the fire anymore. So you're like, is my faith wrong? Is this not as, you know, I was on fire for the Lord and now I'm not. What's going on? And, you know, I think that's just how life can be sometimes. And we have to, there's a test, and we have to really reset our mind, reset our faith, and know that, hey, God is still working in these things. Let's, you know, having joy. So that's, you know, how does joy come into that? Before I just keep rambling, let me just keep reading. Life is like this. Either adjust to circumstances or be battered and left with the pain of misery. However, rather than adjust, many people only wish to be otherwise than they are, to live in the fanciful circumstances they choose rather than in real conditions that exist. Such as, if only I could be placed in another setting, how much happier I would be. Oh, if I had this, you know, I would feel better. You know, how often have you found yourself saying that? Maybe comparing to other people's situation? Oh, well, if I had their income, I'd be a lot better. Oh, if I had that, you know, background and that bringing up in that kind of way, then I would do better. Or if I got this chance, I would do better. You know, always looking at what other people have instead of just actually owning our situation, instead of just manning the ship. We think, oh, if I could only do this, that would be better. It reminds me actually of, I was listening to the Dad Tired podcast a long time ago. It was an episode from a long time ago. It was like kind of in the first starts of my journey, but it was his dad, and he was talking about anxiety. And he never was an anxious person until he went to Disney World. And I thought it was interesting because he thought, you know, once I got to Disney World with my kids, I kind of had this idea that I made it, that everything was good. And the second I got there, I realized, well, maybe it's not that great. Or, you know, like, I don't remember the exact details, but he just, all of a sudden just was full-on anxiety, like, really bad. And, you know, I think of that, and I think how often we could think, if only our situation, if I had enough money to go to Disneyland and not worry about it, then I'd be in a good place. If I didn't have to worry about rent or be paycheck to paycheck, then I'd be happy. I mean, what kind of joy is that? Is that really the joy from the Lord? Is that, no, because it's based upon your circumstance. It's based upon whatever fleeting condition is at the time. And if that's where your joy is based, unfortunately, you're not going to be very joyful, because it's only going to be dependent upon the circumstances. And the joy of the Lord is more than that. It's peace within the storm. So let's move on to some other aspects of the book. So another factor in making adjustments is for one to think and live outside himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. So pretty much it's saying that we need to look to serve others. We can focus so much on our own situation that we forget everything that's going around in the world around us. And just even in our family. We can so focus on, I think as fathers, you know, we have that burden of responsibility. And the burden is that we always want to take care of things. We always want to provide. And that's not a bad thing. Like, that's what we should do as men. We have to rise to that occasion. But we can be so focused in trying to do these things that maybe we miss the things around us. We miss the things of others, the simple things. And that's something I'm really trying to work on in my own life, is not to look at my own issues, my own things, but really, you know, look to my family. What is it they need? Look to others, look to serve. And I think that's what he goes on in this next point. It is in losing yourself that you actually find yourself and happiness. And Jesus, obviously, he has that passage. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. A lot of this journey is losing yourself. And for me, I can say that's been a big problem of mine. I think selfishness has just taken a lot of root into my heart. And, you know, being honest, yeah, I just think of how I can better my situation. How I can better my own situation, my own family. Instead of looking to serve others in what I was called to do. You know, this hardworking dad, you know, my buddies, they always call it a ministry. And I still have a hard time believing it's a ministry. And I think it's because of the heart posture that I had. And that I'm working out right now. Is that it was something that I felt called to do. Something that the Lord has, you know, put me in a place where I have been able to minister to other men and help them in their journeys, but it was from a place of, you know, I think it became a place of serving myself and my family. It came to a place of, okay, how can I do this and make, you know, a profit, make a business out of this? Because you see, you know, social media is filled with all these people of, you know, coaches, and there's nothing wrong with coaches. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with these things, but where's your heart at? Where are you at with Jesus in these things? Just, you know, that same personal development issue. It's the same thing here. Is, you know, am I just trying to fill my own needs, or am I actually trying to help people? And sometimes when you help people, it's not at a, you don't get anything back. You know, it's just you're doing it to serve. So he that findeth his life shall lose it. So you find joy in actually giving of yourself, serving others. And then you find the happiness, because you start to find the real purpose of things. It's not so you can gain this or be that or have all these followers. It's that you can actually make a difference in the world. And so for me, that is something that is a big part of my journey right now. And I love this example. It goes, true of music. Only by forgetting yourself can you find it in rapturing. And I'm a musician. And just to share a story, I went to music school. And it just really resonated with me because, you know, back at home, I was pretty good. Like, hey, you know, you're pretty good at guitar. There's not, I wasn't competing with a whole lot of people, just the neighborhood kids. But I think I'm pretty good. I go to music school. Guess what? I'm not that good. I didn't know music theory. I didn't know how to solo in the key of C. For some of you musicians who actually know, you're like, wow, that's basic key. Yeah, I didn't know that. And then go to school and you're like, they're like, solo in the key of C. I'm like, what the heck? Like, I knew how to play. I knew how to solo. I knew how to do these cool riffs, but to actually target that in a specific way, I had no idea. And I realized, what the heck am I doing? And so for that whole first part of music, of the year of going to school, I was just stuck in my head. And I was thinking to myself, I need to play this. I need to do this. Or they're going to think I'm bad. They're going to think I'm not doing this, or I'm not playing this minor right here. And, you know, music wasn't fun. And later on in the year, I did end up learning music theory. I was able to kind of somewhat keep up. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. And I'll tell you, that all of a sudden music was what it was when I was playing at home in my bedroom, stereo cranked up, rocking out. It was fun again. And it was because I forgot about myself. I stopped thinking about how bad I was or what I didn't know or what I couldn't do. And I just had fun with it. So often, even in this podcast, or just talking about these things, diving in way too deep that you just forget to just have fun. And I think that's where we can really, find God in these places, is that it's not so much in the do's and the don'ts and do this and do that, but it's just enjoying the presence of God, knowing that He's walking with you on our journey, that your steps aren't, the man may plan his steps, but the Lord directs his paths. And just knowing that, it kind of brings this freedom to just, hey, let's just walk with God. Let's just enjoy His presence. And I think therein lies the joy of the Lord. So something I'm still journeying in, and it sounds so easy, right? Like, just do that. But I think there's a process in it, and we're all working to be better in that process. Now, in this part, he says, make a list of the most unhappiest, most maladjusted person you know. Make a list of think of those people, and then make a list of the traits that describe that person. So I'm going to name these things, and you tell me in your car, not obviously I can't hear you, but just think, does this describe me in some way? Thinks the world revolves around him. Yeah, I can be guilty of that. What he does for others is for his sake and not theirs. Definitely. Self-conscious. Yep. Touchy. Nah, I don't think I'm touchy. Spiteful. Could be at times. Unforgiving. No, I'm pretty forgiving. I don't know. Maybe I should. Anyways. Unfair. Yeah, I find and feel that. Envious. Shirks duties. Gossipy. Divisive. Hateful. Critical of others. Wishes to be appreciated without doing that which commends appreciation. To be loved without loving. Now, these are some pretty heavy things, but if I think about it, at least half of these things I have been at times, if not still fighting through for some of them. So what does that mean? Is there no joy? I can tell you, it's hard to find joy if this is your mindset, if this is where you're at, if this is the perspective you're taking. Because there's no guilt or shame, because I think we're all there at some point. But it's bringing the awareness of like, man, it is how I view things. It is how I approach the situation. It is my way of thinking that is stealing the joy of the Lord. So this is sure to work, because an irrevocable law is, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. The golden rule. I mean, this like almost every religion kind of takes this scripture and uses it. Karma. Give and you will receive. The world will give back. And it is that kind of golden rule. But hey, this is what the Bible says. The best will come. And then he has this little something by somebody. The best will come back to you. Give love, and love to your heart will flow. A strength in your utmost need, have faith, and a score of hearts will show their faith in your word and deed. For life is a mirror of king and slave. 'Tis just what you are and do. Then give to the world the best you have, and the best will come back to you. Madeline Bridge. In keeping with the thesis that joy is attained by being somebody rather than by seeking it. And I think that really hits it, is as Christian fathers, we're not Christians because we're seeking joy. If we're always seeking joy, our faith is going to falter. Our role as head and, You know, because if we're always seeking joy, we're going to hit troubles in our marriage. We're going to hit troubles with our kids. And if we're always just saying, well, things need to be good, things need to be joyful, we're going to find that we're upset or we're just disappointed. And I love just the idea is that being somebody, well, what does that mean? That means being somebody of character, being somebody that not only just follows the word, but models it. And not to just give, not to receive, but to give, right? And I'm really in my own faith trying to work out how I can be better at being that example. Not, you know, I think so often I can think of my family and think, I'm doing this for them, I'm doing that for them. How can they do better at this then? And, you know, there could just be these expectations that I put on them because I'm doing this. But really, I think there can be a lot of heartache there, a lot of disappointment, anger, frustration. And we just need to continue to be somebody that is of character, of value, of moral fiber. So I'm just kind of reflecting on that. How do we Christian fathers keep the joy flowing? Focus less on the circumstance. Focus less on ourselves. You know, focus on the love of Christ. And I don't think I read any actual part of that. But there's, I think he did say that in Psalms, which I accidentally missed. But he did say, our trust in God gives us strength to hold up and find help though battered from every side. As a psalmist will say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced and with my song will I praise him. So we trust in the Lord. And I think this is the last part that I think is a good one for us too. The best preparation for tomorrow is to fully live today, taking care of today's responsibilities. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is the only way life can be lived, one day at a time, not in the lump. This gives you today. So I mean, so often the joy that can be taken from us is because we're worrying about tomorrow. We're worrying about tomorrow, the next week, the next month. And I'm so guilty of that too. Especially as we've been trying to really budget and, you know, be good with our finances, honor God. You know, it does require a lot of you know, sacrifice and discipline. And I'm learning that. And so often I can just be so deflated thinking, man, we just got paid and everything's gone because I paid the bills or paying off debt. We're doing this. But I'm all that worry comes from thinking about tomorrow, thinking about the next day, thinking about a week from now, or thinking how we're going to get to the next paycheck because we just paid off everything, and not really focusing on the fact that, hey, we just went to Costco, man. We just loaded up for like enough for 2 weeks. We got food. We got a full refrigerator, not just, you know, good food. We got organic beef. My wife is big on health. And, you know, we got good quality food. You know, we paid all our bills. We're still going to In-N-Out once a week. Yeah, I love In-N-Out. But, you know, the worry comes because I'm thinking about later down the road. I'm thinking about that, and it just comes from today. So how can we just take care of what we need of today. And then the worries of tomorrow, you know, they're not going to matter so much, because all we really have is today. And I just think that's such an important outlook and perspective, because worry is a thief of joy. And, you know, can be guilty of that tenfold. So I did highlight this little last part. It was a little writing from somebody. Happy the man, and happy he alone, he who can call today his own. He who, secure within, can say, tomorrow do they worse, for I have lived today. John Dryden. Here's another one that was good. Care to our coffin adds a nail. Excuse me. No doubt. And every grin so merry draws one out. You know, worry can't add another day to your life, but it will take away another day of your life. But smiling is actually good for your health. So, you know, just some recap of, you know, how we can practice joy. And I think in the time in your journey with God, there's going to be very many moments where we're going to have to make that decision to choose joy. And I think one of the good things too is when Paul talks about the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, it's not something we can just manually do. Like, we can't just make ourselves have joy. Yeah, they come from the Lord, and they come from the Holy Spirit. And so we actually, it's not fully just up to us to just muscle in these gifts. We have to continually pray to God, pray for the Holy Spirit, ask for his joy to come upon us. We just have to choose in those moments how to respond. And the best response is, Lord, I choose to trust you. Lord, I choose to take joy in this moment. Lord, help me have joy despite the circumstance. You know, praying. So with that, I think I've said a lot that, you know, was from this book. But hopefully you find this helpful. Hopefully it's a perspective shift for you. And we'll talk soon on the next episode. But before that, let me pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for this time, for the realization of having joy, Lord. That is a gift that you give us. And so, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes to see joy in all the circumstances, to choose to see how you have blessed us and have gratitude when we don't want to. To know that you're working in every aspect, Lord, and our trials, our tribulations are not reflections upon you. They're not always reflections upon what we've done. So, Lord, help us to be flexible, to be bendable to the trials of life, and not let our faith be hindered. That our faith would grow, Lord, that our joy would grow. And that, Lord, we focus on today. We leave tomorrow in your care. If there's anyone who's having struggles and worrying about how they're going to pay rent, how they're going to do this, Lord, help. I pray that you would meet them in the moment. And give them all that they need for the day. And then we trust you for the rest, Lord. We trust you for provision, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.